Welcome back to New Rockstars. WandaVision just premiered on Disney Plus, kicking off Marvel's next phase with two episodes depicting the Avengers, Scarlet Witch, and Vision trapped in a freaky sitcom reality. And we gotta react to both of these episodes because we have questions. WTF, or as we like to say, Wanda
the
This is Inside Marvel, New Rockstars WandaVision After Show. I'm Eric Voss, here with fellow Marvel nerd and child of TV Land reruns, Jessica Clemens. Hey, Jessica.
Hi. I've switched locations, so now I'm in my room at my actual desk, and I have a spinny chair, and I will try my hardest to stop doing this, but who knows? It might add to the whole...
I get it. Yeah, I'm feeling a little shifty right now, too. I don't know what we're watching with WandaVision.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to talk about it. And I'm going to try so hard to not go into, like, just, like, nerd details of just, like, how beautiful shot it is.
No, please do. Please go as deep into nerd details as you want. This is New Rockstars.
That is
true.
That's
what we do here.
No, yeah, who's subscribing that's not a nerd?
Yeah, right? A big spoiler warning before we continue. Yes, the hour is late. The episode's literally just dropped minutes ago, but this show is insane. We know a lot of you Marvel fans stayed up late to watch, and you need answers. We're going to explain what Westview is, and make no mistake, folks, WandaVision is no comedy. It is a horror, and we are going to explain why. And there are Easter eggs and clues hidden all over the damn place. I'm going to break all those details down shot by shot in two separate videos coming out, I think sometime later today, or Friday being today, and tomorrow, Saturday. Oh, and by the way, you can celebrate Marvel's return by checking out our new Latest Obsession shirt inspired by WandaVision. It's called An Unusual Couple. I love this shirt. It shows Vision's floating consciousness, and it has Easter eggs that are only revealed via augmented reality on your phone. So you gotta move fast, though, because these are collectible, limited supply items, and after we sell out back in the Blue Dungeon, they go. Just find them at New Rockstars merch.com, and those who get this Vision shirt will unlock the extra option to write a custom shout out for these episodes of Inside Marvel. All those shout outs are going to be appearing at the bottom of the screen. Let's see what we got. Ricardo Thomas Hernandez says, happy we get more Jessica Clemens on New Rockstars because she is a damn rock star.
Oh my god, sponsor me, rock star.
Also, our friend Carol Brown says, this is a BQ for Eric and Philip. When Skynet goes live, will this shirt activate? Yeah, that's what's crazy about this unusual couple shirt. It does feel like very, very involved. It's very high tech. It's like, now my t-shirt is talking to my phone. What is the world?
Stark Industries. It's brought to you by Stark Industries.
Yeah, oh yeah. Ooh, also, Epic Hero Shop launched their own companion shirt featuring Wanda with its own secret AR component. So for all you lovers out there, if you care about keeping this unusual couple together, jump on that. And a quick reminder that Epic Hero Shop is doing something amazing. They're giving away 10 PS5s. You can enter by subscribing to their YouTube channel, Epic Hero Labs. Fill out the form that you find at epicheroshop.com/giveaway. Every 10,000 subscribers, there will be a new winner announced. And there's a bunch of ways to get more entries into that giveaway on that website. So check it out, epicheroshop.com/giveaway. All right, Jessica, break down what happened in these first two episodes of WandaVision.
Okay, so if you know me, if you're a very close friend of mine, you know that I can't summarize because I get too into details and I need to explain it. So I'm going to try my damned hardest for you guys to keep this short and sweet and to the point. So we open the first episode with the newlywed couples coming in their car, playing in this like quirky, klutzy, cute couple that they are to what I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, boss, is like I Love Lucy themed.
Or I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke Show, because it seems like that calendar might be 1961 and Dick Van Dyke ran 61 to 66.
I need to get more into the years. Okay. So I immediately was like, ooh, I Love Lucy. I'm into this. So either way, they're a newlywed couple coming.
Inspired for sure.
Yeah, inspired. Yeah. So Dick Van Dyke, I Love Lucy. You say whatever you want to assume, but they're a newlywed couple coming into their new home and they're being so cute and quirky. We have Elizabeth Olsen, Wanda Maximoff cleaning dishes, making everything levitate right when the Vision just walks through and breaks one with his face. They see a heart on the calendar that says August 23rd and they go to the conclusion that maybe it could be their anniversary, but no one really knows, but they refuse to acknowledge that they both don't know. So they go and on with their lives being like, maybe it's our anniversary. I think it is. Vision has to hide his persona, so he shakes a face onto his face. He turns into Paul Bettany, Which I'm so mad they didn't acknowledge and say, like, he just turns into Paul Bettany.
Well, I'm sure Paul Bettany was thrilled.
Yeah, he was like,
God.
This makeup has left my freaking face. We're introduced to Agnes then right after, the neighbor, to, what does she say? She says, I'm your neighbor on the right. My right, not yours. In a very cute, quirky matter. We love Catherine Hahn coming in here. She has so many questions immediately about, like, what are you doing alone? Who's your partner? Where's your children? What's your life like? And through those drawn out conclusions, they come to the idea that maybe tonight is their anniversary, and Agnes starts to help her plan for the occasion. Then we cut to Vision at work at a computational forum place that we don't really know. And he works very well because guess what? He's a robot and he's doing all this computing. When we are then introduced to his boss, Mr. Hart, we come to the conclusion that tonight is the night that they have a dinner with his boss, Mr. Hart, who's wanting to meet Vision and Wanda Maximoff. So he's like, oh, I need to call my wife. I need to call Wanda. We get this cute phone line conversation of like, they're just not understanding at all where they are. Vision still knows that it's the dinner. Wanda still thinks it's the anniversary. Hilarity ensues. They go into it immediately with Mr. and Mrs. Hart coming to dinner. Wanda showing up in a white nightgown, all sexy, thinking it's the anniversary. Klutz idea. I love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke. It's not at all what it is supposed to be. So through a series of 50 slapstick comedy, they come up with breakfast for dinner. That's when we're introduced to the horror of the first episode. They're berating them with questions of like, why'd you get here? Where did you come from? It's a Get Out scene, really. And we get Kitty, whose real name isn't Kitty. I call her Kitty from That 70s Show because she's the mom. Starts asking these questions on repeat, almost like she's about to cry. You don't know if she's a part of S.W.O.R.D. You don't know what's happening, but it's a very awkward scene where Wanda calmly tells Vision to help his boss, Mr. Hart, who's choking on the dinner. He gets his powers, takes it out. They call it end. They leave abruptly after choking. And then at the end of the scene, they talk about how much they love each other. And it zooms out with a vignette over the shoulder shot of S.W.O.R.D. working on a notepad, watching on a TV screen the show that we just watched. It's dark and seedy. Yeah. And
it's such a like crazy idea. Like, this is such a classic setup for like these old school sitcoms. Like, the boss is coming home from dinner, you better impress him, and the wife misinterprets it, and then there's like this kind of like, oh wait, I didn't know that's what you meant. And then it's so cute. And can we say, Jessica, this show is horny as
people. You okay?
Like, when he's talking about getting tongue tied, and she's like, "Viz, after all this time, it's like children are watching this."
You put that in the notes, and when Vision was like, "What are you wearing? What are you wearing?" I was like, "Damn!"
What are you wearing?
I was like, "Damn!" They're about to have sex. I was like, "This is like
Disney."
You know,
those old school shows were super horny too. Like,
they
you go back and watch. It's like, did the censors know what the writers were joking at in this show?
Was. It also has it's so cute and so perfect. And Catherine Hahn is everything that I look to be in a comedian actress. She plays that trope so well. Like, she's loud.
I'm obsessing over Catherine Hahn. I feel like everything she says has a double meaning. And I rewatched, you know, and I'm like, wait, what did she really mean by that? I'm losing my mind.
It's insane. Also, the guy with the mustache, if anyone can tell me who that man is, he is so funny. He's the guy that's like cleaning out his desk in the first episode. That's just like,
yeah, Phil Jones is a character's name.
I'm obsessed with him. He has a lot of good one-line jokes. And I'm like, damn, this is a guy that's...
Oh, his name is David Langle.
David Langle.
I haven't seen him in other stuff before, but that guy is freaking hilarious. He's got some of the best one-liners.
He's got the best one-liners, which I want to talk about with the second episode. So, because the second episode has his best one-liner. Either way, so the second episode enters with what we talked about in our first preview of the show that was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show when we heard the bump in the night. It turns out to be a tree branch. And when I said I bet my mom's life on it being someone walking into a wall, I take it back.
Well, it wasn't that, but I don't think it was just a tree branch, right? Yeah, it was probably some of this, the beekeeper or the helicopter or something.
So it's the bump in the night episode where she makes the beds turn into one king size bed and then they canoodle into the night. We wake
horny.
Up. They're so horny. So this is the Bewitched. Uh-huh. We rewatched it and we thought Dream of a Genie, but they obviously didn't give any like shout outs to Dream of a Genie, but I thought it was I Dream of Genie, but it is the Bewitched kind of sort of years. Mm-hmm. And we're getting that, like, she's obviously a witch. Let's see what's going to happen. they're getting ready for this magic talent show that they're doing for their town. It's for the children. It's an elementary school fundraiser. And they always say, for the children. I immediately was like, this is weird as Wanda the f- what for the where's the children? What children are y'all talking about? So they're getting ready for that magic show with Vision and Wanda performing their trick, and Wanda reassuring Vision that she wants to be normal. This is their new town now. Vision's like, you're right. So he embarks to go find the neighborhood watch to make sure that the neighborhood watch is up to snuff with security, which they never are. So Wanda hears another crash. Up to snuff with eating Danishes. So Wanda hears another crash and goes outside, and that's where we see the red helicopter from the trailers. It's in the front bush. She's looking at it very pensively, like she's staring at it, concentrated. To me, it felt like a little bit of her color was coming back slightly, but I think I was just going crazy and saying with like trying to be you and being like, where is it? So, of course, it was already like she was shook and awake by Agnes screaming, hey, and showing off her rabbit for the talent show, Mr. Scratchy. Senor Scratchy. Thank you. Sorry.
Did you say the rabbit is Mephisto?
The rabbit is Mephisto. The rabbit has to be Mephisto. How is the rabbit not going to be Mephisto? So they basically go meet up with Dottie and the party planning committee and reassure her that Dottie is the only person. She's the god of the planning committee. When they go to they go to what I assume is a country club, and they repeat again as a unit this time, this is for the children and is of the utmost importance. That's where we get all these one-liners from Agnes that are very funny, but also too telling. We're also revealed to find out that one of the women in the group is Monica. So it might not be, but she introduces herself as Geraldine. But from us breaking down everything, we know it's Monica Rambeau. But either way.
Yeah, it sounds like a name she just made up on the fly.
Yeah, she also sounded really, she stuttered when she paused and said, Geraldine. And so we're introduced to Geraldine in that moment. We cut immediately to the neighborhood watch that's in the library. And basically the neighborhood watch men hated Vision before. They didn't trust him before. But now since he's loosened up, they think he's really funny. They're all quirky and great. And they offer him big red gum, which he chews and immediately becomes drunk because it gunks up his wires. And that's how Vision's body works. It gums up his gears, and that's how his body works. We're then taken back to the country club where Wanda is cleaning up for the committee. She's talking to Dottie about their relationship when the static that we saw in the trailer starts happening through the radio. It's playing like the Beach Boys, but we also see the static. We also hear, Wanda, where are you? What's going on? She's starting to like come to consciousness while Dottie's like, who are you? What is that? She's about to cry. And then the radio combusts. The lemonade Dottie's holding breaks in her hand, shatters, revealing red blood. And Wanda's just like, what the hell just f-ing happened? And that is like, they leave it at that. And they go on living their lives. Before the talent show, Vision appears drunk. Obviously, hilarity ensues when Vision appears to be so drunk that he's just going to reveal his powers to everybody. But luckily, Wanda counteracts it with her vision, with her powers, citing that it's illusions, it's illusions, it's illusions. So the neighborhood doesn't think they're weird. And at the end of the night, they get awarded like the best hilarity, the best great part for the fundraiser, which is really good. And then Wanda reminds Vision, this is for the children, gets up and reveals that she is pregnant. And we're like, oh my God. The children are her babies, are her twins. When another bump in the night goes out, they go out to go see what it is. And that's when we get the scene from the trailer of a man climbing out of a manhole in the middle of the night, no one around, in a beekeeper suit surrounded by bees. And he turns and looks at Wanda where Wanda goes, no. And we get a rewind, an old school VHS rewind back to where Wanda says, we're doing this for the children. It honestly stunned me so hard at that scene that I was like, what happened? They kiss. We get color to the screen. We get color to the room. They recognize that Vision turned magenta again, that everything's coming back to life. And then we get that static from the radio and it ends. And I need to talk about the second episode.
Yeah, that was wild. And let's not forget these commercials that they plug in the middle of the episodes that if you need more Marvel Easter eggs, they got a Stark Industries toaster, the Toast Mate 2000.
They have the Hydra and, like, watch.
The Strucker watch. Like,
And Strucker, what is the line?
Time for you.
Yeah, he'll make time for you. The two accessories a man needs, his lady and a watch.
And I gotta, I got a name drop here. That guy was Ithmar Enriquez. He was on my house improv team at I.O. He's a really funny guy.
Oh my
I had
God,
no idea he was part
good...
of this. So I screamed Ithmar when I saw him. Yeah, and another
that's
buddy of ours, Eric Delgado, who went to college with me and Philip, was a tap dancer in an episode. So it's like, I know people in the show.
That's
this is
insane.
So weird.
How do I get on the show? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we're one step removed now.
I'm so mad now. Wait a minute. I want to tap dance.
All right. But what's our big WTF for this?
Okay. First off, there's too many. What the f*** is Westview and when are we?
Yeah. Okay. So Westview. Westview is the name of the sitcom town. It's a pocket reality that Wanda and Vision appear to be trapped in. Everyone in it appears to be under a kind of spell. They sort of play along to these sitcom tropes, but sometimes they wake up for a moment and suspect that something is wrong and kind of turn against each other. But then they kind of go back into it. So obviously, if you're watching, Westview is a kind of illusion. Because Vision is dead. He died in Infinity War. The version of Vision we're seeing is not the real Vision. This is all taking place after Avengers Endgame. Though, within the bubble, according to that calendar, episode one appears to be set in August 1961. And the way we got that is there's only certain years where the month of August begins on a Tuesday. There's like the year 1950. But then on that calendar, it says, all this little girl wants is a color TV. And color TVs were not invented until 53. And we're not in American homes till the 60s. So this would have been 61. Dick Van Dyke is kind of more the reference point. But episode two is set in the late 60s with the Bewitched. So based off of that trajectory, we can probably assume episode three will be set in the 70s, episode four, the 80s with the family ties stuff, episode five, maybe the 90s one with Roseanne, episode six, I'm guessing 2000s with Modern Family. And we know that because Paul Bettany himself said that episode seven, eight, and nine will be kind of the final act of the season. All will be revealed. And the finale of this season will be kind of an Avengers style showdown. So that kind of gives you the roadmap for what we can expect. So again, Westview, this is actually, whatever it is located in the middle of this random wooded area. And it's being closely monitored by SWORD, S-W-O-R-D, Sentient World Observation Response Department. Marvel fans know that in the comics, SWORD is an offshoot of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's focused on extraterrestrial threats. They have this, like, space station orbiting Earth that people think in that post-credit scene of Far From Home that that's where Nick Fury was. It's called The Peak. But in this show, SWORD includes Jimmy Woo, you know, that was Randall Park from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Darcy Lewis from the Thor movies, and Monica Rambeau. We talked about her. She is grown up from when we saw her in Captain Marvel. She's going to be in Captain Marvel 2. So, yeah, this is like a simulated reality, kind of like things you've seen in X-Files, The Matrix, Truman Show, Twilight Zone. Actually, like, there are specific, there's an episode, Kill Switch, of The X-Files that features a simulated reality that uses its Twilight time, as the early WandaVision trailer did. And also there's that episode of The Twilight Zone, one of my favorite episodes, It's a Good Life, with Anthony. Like, oh, very good, Anthony, the mind control boy who forces a town to bend to his will. And they're all just terrified. He turns one of them into a jack-in-the-box. But it doesn't seem like this outside authority of SWORD is the one imprisoning Wanda there. She's kind of in control of it. It makes it seem like the illusion is coming from within.
Yeah.
The illusion's coming from inside the house. That's kind of
Oh my God, it's coming from inside the house. I definitely, like, got that. That was episode one where they ended with the sword, like, writing down. Well, okay, so this is where I'm a little confused, which maybe you can clear up. So we get the end of episode one with SWORD, like, writing down something, closing it, obviously watching on a monitor what's happening, or replaying this for her. Maybe she's unconscious and SWORD is like, this is the only way to keep her kind of tamed. But then we have the Jimmy Woo voice coming through the intercom being like, who's doing this to you? So that's where I'm like, maybe SWORD is watching over this unconscious body while she makes these things in her head, and maybe we're seeing what's just playing in her head, while on the outside, it's actually just true turmoil. It's just like, the world is like a chaos.
That might be the case. We know from trailers that there appears to be some kind of a perimeter fence around like an actual piece of real estate that seems to be part of being this warping thing. So either Wanda is in the middle of it, she could be somewhere else doing this, but it seems like she's trapped in it. And that voice over the radio asked, who is doing this to you?
Yeah.
You know, so it makes it sound like Wanda's not even fully in control of it. They recognize that she's not at fault. She's kind of a victim.
Yeah.
There was this moment where the beekeeper comes out with the SWORD logo on his suit.
Yeah.
And Wanda says no, and things rewind like the videotape. So she has some control over what's happening, but I don't think she's fully aware of it. I don't think she's playing coy. I think she's going in and out of full consciousness.
Yeah,
but clearly sure. There's some other unknown entity trapping Wanda in this spell, and Sword is just trying to help end it and break her out of it.
I think she wants to stay. She wants to stay in it, clearly, because she was like, no, I love this world. And she's trying so hard to be like, we need to fit in. This is our home now. And also, when we got Westview, I think it was in the beginning of the first episode, the Westview sign says, like, home is where you want.
Yeah. And then it says home is where you make it, I think, too. So literally,
so it's like
you
she
make
truly
it.
Is
you...
just like, I yeah. want, this is our home now. I want us to be normal. I lived a life as just like, my brother's dead and the world outside of this is so dangerous. Like, I think she just truly is like, this is our, I want to be as normal as a family can be by being these sitcoms. Right.
And we know Wanda has reality warping powers in the comics. We haven't really seen that in the MCU yet, but this is what it looks like. She can change reality around her, but it appears that someone else is kind of hijacking her. So I think that's the real question we got to ask, is not just what is Westview or when is Westview, but who is this mysterious third party hijacking Wanda's reality warping mind to create this illusion? So just to run down a couple of candidates, it could be Catherine Hahn's character, Agnes. We've theorized that her name could have come from Agatha Harkness, which that is the witch companion to Wanda Maximoff in the Marvel Comics, who turns against her. Agnes is clearly up to something, but we'll talk more about on that in a bit.
Yeah.
It could be the demonic entity Agatha famously serves, Mephisto, who famously in the comics has tried to trick Wanda with the illusion of her children or the children in order to drain her chaos magic.
Or the children.
More about Mephisto later.
Or the children.
And if we interpret this pocket reality as a dream, this could be another Marvel entity, Nightmare, from the dream dimension. He's a foe to Doctor Strange, whose sequel, Wanda, is confirmed to return in next year. Yeah, those are some candidates. It might be someone else. I think some of these answers will come up in the name Westview itself, Jessica, because we've also heard there's another part of this town, Eastview, and I've speculated that could parallel the Wicked Witch of the East, the Wicked Witch of the West, and the Wizard of Oz, something we know this series seems to be hinting at with the trailer footage showing the movie theater marquee playing Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, wouldn't it be fun if their, like, sons went to, like, I was reading so many things, I was like, yeah, this is, like, a basic family. What school does the kids go to? where does the children, like, what school is it? And if it's Eastview and what their mascot would look like? This is just a weird side note that I'm like, I can't wait to see her go to a football game.
Cheering the kids on. And Speed has to, like, not use his powers.
Yeah, it's great? Literally The Incredibles, where he has to slow down.
Sorry.
Speed up.
Yeah, it's, I think for the children, it's kind of the clue we need to take away from these first two episodes. Like, where are the children? Like, all these people are doing everything for their kids. I don't see any kids around. Like, that's obviously the joke with Wanda having the baby bump at the end. But do these other families have kids? Where are they on a Saturday afternoon where they can just leave them all alone?
Truly. I can't wait to see that babies. I can't wait to see them babies.
We're going to go more into all this. First, we want to thank some friends who helped us make this episode. Our friends at Keeps. Thanks to Keeps for sponsoring this episode. As guys, so much of our identity, I guess, is wrapped in our hair, right? From how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when you start noticing the first signs of hair loss, for a lot of guys, it feels like panic time. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some hair left. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Now, you may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit the doctor online and get a hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver the medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkouts. Outlines and awkward doctor visits. So if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/WandaVision to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/WandaVision. Also, we want to thank ExpressVPN for sponsoring this episode. We all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online. Now you can also use a VPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Use ExpressVPN to binge Doctor Who or Star Trek Discovery on the UK Netflix. All you gotta do, fire up the ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that is it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. Choose from over 100 different countries. That's a lot of Netflix libraries. If you love anime, you can use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it is ridiculously fast. There is never any buffering or lag. You can stream in HD, no problem. ExpressVPN is compatible with your phone, media console, smart TVs, and other devices. You can watch on the go or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/WandaVision, you could get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/WandaVision. And finally, thanks to our friends at Manscaped for sponsoring this episode, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Now, I don't think Vision has any body hair, but maybe he does when he's in Dick Van Dyke or Danny Tanner mode. Those men were famously furry.
Famously furry.
If that synthezoid has pubes, you know he would want the most advanced possible tech to trim them, something like the Lawnmower 3.0. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting their Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, and the whole thing is waterproof. It's even got this cool LED light to illuminate grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. It literally shines where the sun don't. Experience it firsthand for yourself and trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WandaVision at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WandaVision. And for all the women watching our shows, maybe we'll have some sponsors that you can find interesting.
Me?
Even you.
Even me?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Oh, little old man.
All right, let's move on to some more questions that we had from this episode.
WTF is Agnes's deal. Also, her husband Ralph isn't real, right? Okay, those are in your notes, and Ralph is real. But you can you go first.
You think Ralph is real? I don't think Ralph is real.
Ralph is okay. all of the jokes Agnes makes about Ralph are so good. The disappearing act, yeah. Where she was just like, "Can you make Ralph disappear?" I was just like, "Ralph has to be Mephisto." I think they're like hinting at the fact that I know that I'm like, "Yeah, the rabbit's Mephisto, Ralph's Mephisto," but I think it's true. I think how can he be watching Wanda without watching Wanda? He in the comic books doesn't have that much power because of Wanda taking it. So it's just like, what if he is like doing as much as he can to get in that world and like mess with her with the like the least amount of magic that he can use, and it's like by putting himself in the form of all these things. So I think we will get Ralph soon, and it will just be like Mephisto, but not like he's not gonna come out as Mephisto. He's just gonna look like a normal man. But I think
Jessica,
like that's
a great theory. Something is going on with Ralph, and I think that is now my favorite theory of what is going on with this guy, because either he doesn't exist or he is someone else, because the way she says it is like, my husband, Ralph, right, that we all know I have a husband, like, she's either lying and she has murdered her husband and he is like a rotting corpse in a rocking chair in her attic, or he is Mephisto, or both.
That'd if you fun. Break apart Ralph, it spells Mephisto. I'm trying to connect any dot I can.
Devil Ralph. Ralph is a devil. Devil's like any famous
Ralph Lauren, Ralph. The polo shirt.
Yeah. He's the devil. No, I think obviously Agnes. Agnes is my favorite character to watch right now. I feel like every word out of her mouth, like every gesture feels motivated, and it feels deceitful in some way. Like she had this whole dinner ready to go. I know that's kind of an Ethel joke from like I Love Lucy, towards just this crazy neighbor who's super nosy and always trying to poke her head in the door. She always comes in the back. That Bewitched intro, she was coming in through the door, whereas everyone else was outside. Like the fact that she has this rabbit, the fact that like it was interesting during the magic show, she like grabbed her purse as if she was gonna pull a gun out and just start firing. Like something.
Would she threaten the mailman?
Triggered
when she when the mailman
what was
walked
with that
by.
Mailman, right?
It was too.
Where she goes pew 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 pew.
It was too like wild to put in there without something mean, without it meaning something. And right. So I think
she
maybe the mailman
look.
Was like from Sword, and he got in, and she's just like, "You keep starting problems." Like because he was like, "Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger." Like. What if he's Mephisto? Okay, I'm sorry. I understand that I am turning into Voss now. It's rubbing off on me. But hear me out.
You're welcome.
Don't shoot the messenger. What if he's the messenger delivering news to Agnes being like, do this next? I don't know. Maybe.
I think Agnes is going to be the direct villain as this series goes on. Catherine Hahn is like a fairly big name and she's so good. But I think, you know, there's going to be a hint later in the series that she serves a greater master. And if that's it, our Mephisto, that's all we need for our Mephisto theory to
and
be
then
ready,
we're like,
you know?
Yeah. And then it turns out to be Nightmare. She's like working for Nightmare. We're like, girl.
And then I will trash
soiled.
Everything.
I will break this microphone, John. Yeah. Do you hear me? I will throw it out the window. Throw it to the possums.
So what's our next question?
Okay. WTF, what is going on with the beekeeper? And why did Wanda say no and rewind away from him?
Yeah. So this beekeeper has the Sword logo on the back. Mm. Is he part of Sword? Like all these other clues that she's finding a Sword? Or is it like something, is that the third party entity that is now just dressed as a Sword beekeeper or something like that?
So two things. When I first saw that beekeeper, I said, maybe it's Swarm, one of the worst villains in Marvel history. But don't laugh at me. Why does everybody laugh at me when I bring this up to people? I'm tired of people laughing at maybe it's Swarm. Maybe we're just getting ready. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's coming out of the woodwork.
He's
who knows?
Made of bees.
He's made of bees. My notes literally said, beekeeper equals Swarm, a man of bees. Like, it's so stupid. But secondly, I was zooming in on that man's face in the beekeeper suit, and it kind of looked like Paul Bettany. Please correct me if I'm completely wrong, but I was like, this could be like, yeah, Sword's trying to break in deeper in her mind, trying to get her out. But what do the bees mean? What do the bees mean?
Bees!
Bees!
I'm working on a theory that will probably end up in the breakdown and everyone will yell at me, but like, there's hexagons in this, folks. And I know hexagons are just like a natural geometric shape that, you know, fit together in cool patterns. And so you see that texture everywhere. But like, in both episode 1 and episode 2, the wipe that they use at the end of the episode is a honeycomb-style hexagon. At the Bewitched intro, there are 6 stars around the moon that forms the 6 points of a hexagon. Is there a beehive conceit that they're working on? And that's what the beekeeper's connected to. I'm totally reaching. I know.
Maybe
I know.
It's like,
but
yeah,
these
if we're
are
reaching,
active choices that
maybe
they're
it's
making.
It's a, what is it called when spies, it's a honey trap. Or a honey
oh,
pot. You know
a honey
like?
Pot?
Yeah. Maybe it's a honey trap.
Oh,
I don't
could
know.
Be. Could be. I mean, look, it's. I just think it's weird that they changed so much stylistically between episode 1 and episode 2. They're completely different sitcom formats, very different humor tones even. And the fact that they would keep that hexagonal wipe at the end is weird. It means that some designers
it
like,
mean
no,
so.
We want to keep hexagons as part of this.
That's true. And it's definitely not Swarm, but it's something. It might be Swarm.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that at all. I'm going to think about that now. Also, get in the comments.
So it's either, this beekeeper is either someone from Sword who's trying to get in, and she doesn't want Sword to end this kind of dream reality because she kind of likes it. Or this is some other entity, because that entity was scary. The way he turned, that was pure horror. Yeah. Blocking,
well, does she have any kind of sort of Because when we saw in the second episode, when we saw the watch and it had like Hydra, I was like, oh, maybe she's getting flashbacks. So I'm trying to think if the bees have anything to do with her like past before she was an Avenger. And I mean,
the only thing I can think of is Ultron and his drones, right? Ultron had drones that, you know, once you took out the queen bee of Ultron, all the drones went down.
That's true. Okay, this is a good, I'm going to keep on this.
I don't know.
I'm going to keep on this. Hopefully we get another beekeeper scene. Okay, WTF is going on with the neighbors. Herb, Mr. and Mrs. Hart, Dottie, Phil, Norm, Beth, etc. How in on it are they?
Yeah, right? These other town residents, I don't know if they're more, or the question is, are they as in on it as Agnes is? Are they all, like, is it kind of a conspiracy? Is it like that... that Twilight Zone episode where it's a good life where they're all just kind of terrified and playing along. Obviously, Dottie isn't afraid to call out Wanda. She doesn't trust her. Here's what I think. I think some of the people in the town are just average people who are being hypnotized or brainwashed to play along with this. I think Agnes has her own agenda, and she's kind of playing it with them. And I think Monica Rambeau might have her own agenda just because I know she's a S.W.O.R.D. agent. I don't know if all of these people, Mr. and Mrs. Hart, Phil, Norm, Beth, Herb, I don't know if they're all S.W.O.R.D. agents. But I think they are aware on some level that this is false and they're kind of trapped.
I agree.
Just like, I don't know who they are. I don't know if they're real or if they're like actual people just were in the wrong place at the wrong time when Wanda's hallucination began and they just got assimilated into it.
That'd be interesting. I feel like it's hard because I was like, oh, you have to go all in or nothing. So I feel like all of them have to be like, have to be controlled by Mephisto. But then also it's like, was Mephisto or whoever is controlling Wanda, even if it is just Wanda, was she expecting to be in that world by herself? So I feel like they had to have just some of those people are not S.W.O.R.D. agents, aren't people that were in the vicinity, are people that are made up. Because I was like, how? So was the original plan just to put Wanda in there by herself and to be happy?
Yeah.
So I think only some are S.W.O.R.D. agents and some are like families in that wooded area that got pushed into that hole.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to more figure out who I think the ones are. So, like, Mr. and Miss Dottie, I think, are people created. I don't think they're S.W.O.R.D. agents. I don't think they're people that were in the vicinity. I think they're created, and they were probably on just a loop that got, like, messed with because Wanda was coming to the realization. Maybe when she starts coming to the realization of things, those people that are around her are people that were created, like Dottie. Mm. Actually, maybe not like Dottie, because Dottie asked, like, who are you? What's going on?
I think they're all normal people who are under a spell because the spell kind of wears off sometimes. Mr. and Mrs. Hart, there's even a moment where Mrs. Hart was like, my head is spinning. And Deborah Jo Rupp she does such a good job switching back and forth to when she's in sitcom mode. And in that moment, it felt so sincere where she's like, no, everyone, we need to stop the take. That's what it felt like.
Okay,
of course, Dottie, when she's calling him out. Phil, when he's like, oh, I'm, whatever. That moment where he calls Norm a communist, and Norm's just like, what?
Like, that scene, I was like, oh my god.
That was so funny. What was Vision thinking?
Dear Lord. Vision was like...
There are some theories out there that Herb could be, like, his name's Herbert, and he could be Herbert Windom, which we have a theory for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 that he's the High Evolutionary. I don't know if this guy will play him. I'd love for this guy to play him. I think this guy's great. I want to see him. All these background actors are fantastic. I want them to be regular key players in the MCU.
They are so good. They're so good. And I love that. And to use them to their full capacity, they're in every episode just playing a different character. And I'm so proud of them. I'm so happy that Disney was like, oh, we're going to keep with these same people. We're not going to like different world, different people. I was like, this is so good. They're so good. But yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they are just like all controlled by Mephisto and brought in randomly. And I would be down for that. I don't know. Mr. and Mrs. Hart are not. I feel like they're part of it.
Yeah. I think they're all to an extent part of it. I just don't know if they're real people or if they're just projections the way Vision is. And if what we're seeing of Vision is based on some kind of corporeal like base, you know, that they drag in Vision's corpse, as we talked about, and then from that corpse, and like maybe all these people, maybe here it is, Westview's on a graveyard, and all of these people are the souls of people resurrected from the graves below. And that okay. Wanda has projected this town of Westview.
So it's Pet Cemetery, but yes. Hear me out. Stephen King, get on this. Marvel meets Pet Cemetery. I really hope it's not.
No, yeah, I hope it's not too. That'd be real weird. And real
but I do want a zombie awesome. Marvel universe, so let's go ahead. Let's get on that. WTF is the weird way for they chant for the children. What? Wanda
yeah,
the
that's something, right?
Wanda,
I think this is the whole point of this feels like to get Wanda pregnant and have her have these kids.
Yeah.
That's what they're like for the children, because we don't see other kids. And maybe see other kids in the background. I don't think we do. I need to go rewatch. But the fact that these two babies, the whole town is obsessed with like getting them to this point where they just rapidly progress through their lives and have kids.
That's why it has to be Mephisto, because I keep being like,
He's
ushering these children to come to birth so he can reabsorb them, so he can take them back. And so it's just like, what other reason? But also, let's like jump ahead to the trailers where we saw the Halloween like the Halloween bits where we do see children in the background. We see children everywhere.
That's right.
Do we see those children because we are given the actual children, or well, not the actual children, but the children that Wanda's about to have? Maybe like once Wanda has children, then they're like, oh, computer. We should make other children. Now we know what other children look like.
Right.
But it's like, so children come eventually.
Right, they do. But based on these two episodes, when they say for the children, I think it's just for Wanda's children, and that's it. It's scary that there's no other kids here.
It's such a horror show. It's such a horror. And that's why I think I love it so much, because I'm like, this is terrifying.
This is not a sitcom. Like, this is... This is like an Adult Swim kind of thing. This feels like Too Many Cooks a little bit. Like everyone's just kind of laying along and smiling, but they're about to get stabbed.
Here it comes. And she cuts her hand and shatters it. And then her line after she shatters that glass is straight up like, pop quiz. How does a housewife get blood out of like linen? And she was like, she does it herself. I was like, what? What
the hell does that mean?
What? Yeah. And then she walks away. I said, you better go fix that, whatever that was. And she never got to talk to Vision about it, which pisses me off.
You know what scares me is it's like, is that woman being abused? Like, what do you mean? Why does she have experience with blood on white linen and then she has to like clean it up herself so no one knows? Like, that's freaking scary. What is going on there? Phil Jones, you unemployed jerk. What are you doing to her?
Take it back. Dottie was also like just so terrifying, but yeah, I guess everything is for their children. I just don't know like what the hell was the point of the fundraiser. What's the money for? The children,
right?
The children, what children?
And how is it I guess they sold seats. It just feels like a poorly designed fundraiser that we all do a talent show.
Yeah,
and it just says for the children.
They also don't really care, because when she showed the mirrors, the woman was like, "Is that how mirrors work? Shut up, Beth."
I love that line.
Yes, I was like, yes, we're not gonna
like
get into
it. It felt like such a funny hanging the lantern thing in the script, where they're just like, "How will Wanda justify this one? It's just a mirror."
She said, "Shut up, Beth. That was my grandmother's piano."
that was so funny.
I rewound it. I said, "Okay." I said, "This man gets the Academy Award."
Yes, it's so good.
So the weird way they chant for the children, it's just weird. It's a horror show.
Yeah.
WTF is Sword's mission. What the hell is Sword doing right now? What are they doing?
It's hard to say, but clearly at least monitoring. They are trying to break through and reach out to Wanda. That helicopter has a Sword logo on it, and we've theorized before that it might be a life-size helicopter that got sucked in through the membrane of this town and got turned into like a toy, kind of like in that Twilight Zone episode where the threatening thing was turned into a jack-in-the-box. And the way that Thanos used the Reality Stone, also red-tinted, and warped Drax into children's blocks, you know?
Yeah.
So that... I feel like it's all connected there. Sword, it's weird that they're having Sword being the one to monitor it, because they're sentient world observation and response department. They're supposed to be focused on aliens, extraterrestrial threats. They did have the first line of the series is, Wanda and your flying saucers, which is, you know, it's a pun because literally it's a saucer dish. But like, is that a nod to extraterrestrial threats? And that's why SWORD is on this. They're kind of like the FBI X-Files division. And they are in charge of, like, this is another world, another dimension, and it is sentient.
So we have to break
Wanda out of it.
I think 100% that's why they're doing it. And also, it's crossing a line where they're like, the world's like, this is out of our hands, because she's opening dimensions to different freaking, like, a universe that we don't know anything about. So it's like, who gets that call? Not Ghostbusters. So it's SWORD. Not Ghostbusters, but SWORD. So I feel like SWORD has to look after it. Also, she could be opening dimensions to, like, aliens coming through. Like, the alien to us,
or
too.
Demons coming through.
Or demons.
Yeah, I think a SWORD, right now they seem threatening in the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first Iron Man movie seemed a little threatening or suspicious, but I think SWORD is going to be the new S.H.I.E.L.D. of the MCU. They're going to be the multiverse version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, and they're going to be good guys, and they're going to be the basis of the Secret Invasion Nick Fury series. These are the guys who are just going to show up in the background. You have the TVA as, like, the Time Variance Authority, who's kind of governing different timelines.
Yeah.
SWORD is just there to protect Earth from all these different things.
100%. And I do think, like, right now, all we can, like, I agree with you, what we can pull from this is SWORD is definitely monitoring her right now and trying to get in. But we just, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think they're trying to help, obviously. I don't think they're like, we're going to make this worse. You know what?
Yeah.
Let's throw another dead body in there. They throw Iron Man in there. Like, let's just throw Tony Stark up in there.
If that ends up being it, like, all these things are corpses, just a pile of corpses when the illusion comes down, I'm going to laugh so fucking hard.
That would be awful.
Wanda, what did you do? You bury, like, those corpses.
You can dig a hole quicker than any of us. Put them back in there.
And she goes, corpse flying everywhere.
Oh my god.
All right. We're in a dark place. Let's close out this episode with another segment of What the Devil?
What the Devil?
In which we're going to check in to see if any of our insane theories about Mephisto, the devil figure of Marvel Comics, showing up in the series turned out, any actual evidence or sightings. And folks, I think we got at least one. At that planning meeting in episode 2, Dottie says the devil is in the details, and then Agnes mutters to Wanda, that's not the only place he is. Holy shit. Now, she could be talking about the booze she's about to pour into her afternoon drink, but we don't see the booze in that shot. I think it's deliberately meant to just be a little wink that...
Yeah.
She could also be talking shit about Dottie. Dottie's kind of
a
freaking
the
demon, the way she's...
She's the devil.
I think that's a tip of the hat toward, like, the devil is everywhere.
We're only in the second episode, so they're not going to immediately reveal that it's Mephisto, but I think, like, they have to give some sort of nod, and that is the nod.
Yeah. You mentioned Ralph. I think there is a huge mystery with Ralph. I'm not prepared to say. I think I think he just posed questions about Agnes herself. Like, Agnes has some secret agenda that Ralph is connected to it. I'm almost ready to commit to Ralph being Mephisto, but
can't wait till the episode where Ralph is at the bar with Vision and he's just like, why are you here? And he's confused at why Vision's here. And that is when we're going to get the reveal of, like, Vision wasn't made by him. Vision didn't show up on his own. Wanda made him up. Can't wait for that scene because it's going to happen. 90s sitcoms love a bar scene with two dads.
Yeah, another possible Mephisto related thing, that Stark toaster in the commercial. This was like the first truly creepy moment of the series, where it's just that red light is blinking, and then my buddy Ithmar is talking about burning from both sides, heat from both sides.
Oh,
like,
true.
There feels something hellish related to that. It was super creepy at the very least.
What more is hell than two burning ends and red dots flashing? Let's be honest.
Yeah, being trapped in a hot, hot place with just this flashing red that gets.
What else could it?
Faster,
it can't be anything.
Faster.
When you were like the creepy red light, I was like, yeah, but Wanda's red and like they kind of like keep hinting the blood is red. But then it's like, yeah, it's probably Mephisto. This poor podcast. People are like,
they've said Mephisto 18 times.
Yeah, now? Turn this into a drinking game. Have fun. You guys are going to be the by the end.
Hey, something to point out about both those commercials, they both sped up. right? So like the toaster went beep, 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 beep. Strucker's watch went tick, 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 tick. So there's something about these.
Maybe it's Wanda. It's her unconsciousness because we were seeing in the sword looking at, they could see the like her monitor levels. Maybe that's like a piece of her like consciousness being like, you're a human alive. You're just dreaming. Nightmare. Okay, sorry.
Now, we could be talking, and you mentioned all the other sightings of the color red. Like, this is some Schindler's List nastiness.
It is. Honestly, it's the girl with the red dress.
So, we'll see if all these color red things are all kind of connected. I think these all kind of represent the Wanda's illusion showing, it seems, you know? Like, these are things that break the black and white illusion when it's still black and white. Obviously, we're going into Technicolor now, so we'll see. But I think a splash of red is going to be significant when we look back on this series. I'm not prepared to say if it's Mephisto, because as you said, Scarlet Witch's color is bright red. Yeah, Vision is bright red, so it could just be connected to her sorcery. But Mephisto is also a very red person. I think they're just going to put all the red.
They are teasing us. How can they? It's so frustrating. What else is red? A fire truck?
Way we should react.
What are you going to do? Oh, God.
All right. Well, that is it for this first episode of Inside Marvel, our WandaVision after show. The next video on the channel is going to be my shot-by-shot breakdown of this episode, because there's so many like little details that they hid in there. I can't wait to rewatch it. And then our breakdown of episode 2 will come out tomorrow, I think. And then, yeah, we'll be back next week with our reaction to episode 3, and every Friday until the series is done and we have all of our answers. Jessica, I'm so glad we're on this journey together. I feel like we can speak to some of the insane conspiracy theories that others can't.
I am an insane person, and like you guys could see in this episode me piecing things together by being like, oh, nightmare, wait, it could be, oh, swarm, wait a minute, ooh, what? Like, yeah. I'm made of too much information.
Follow me at EA Vots on social media. Follow Jessica at Lulu Clemens on Instagram and Twitter. Follow New Rockstars at New Rockstars. Be sure to subscribe to both our YouTube channel and the Inside Marvel podcast feed. And check out our merch store, newrockstarsmerch.com. Be sure to get your hands on that Unusual Couple Vision shirt. It's so, so cool. And we're going to close out with the biggest laugh we had this episode.
That was my grandmother's piano.